The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 1129. It's the 30th of July 2018. On the podcast today, I have Paul Haywood, Executive Director of Block Energy, BLOE. And Paul explains the progress at their oil and gas projects in Georgia, having just come back from a trip there. Also on the podcast, Michael Rosenberg, Chairman of Starcom, STAR, Star is the ticker there. And Michael discusses the trading update they've released today. Plus, oil and gas sector specialist Malky talks about the following stocks: Amerisur, Far Limited, listed on the ASX, Savannah Petroleum, President Energy, Jersey Oil and Gas, Rio Bowl Resources. Plus, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Paul Haywood, Executive Director of Block Energy. That's BLOE. Paul, how's it going?
Very well, thanks, Justin. Thanks for having us.
Now, you've just come back from Georgia, where your projects are, you know, located, and we'll go into the details of what's been happening and the progress you're making out there. Before we do, because you're newly listed, for people not aware of Block Energy, summarise the company, if you would, Paul.
Sure. We're an E&P company with assets currently located in Georgia. We've got 100% working interest in the Norio oil field. We've got a 90% working interest in the Satskanesi oil field. Currently producing around 15 to 20 odd barrels a day from those two fields, which covers our local OPEX and G&A. We've got a 25% working interest in the West Wastavi field, which is a newly issued PSC that was issued back in May this year. And we're currently farming in for a 75% working interest.
Marvellous stuff. Okay. And you say you've been over there. So I counted there. How many? So is it four projects you have interest in? Is that right?
Three projects. Right. Yeah, so we...
A bad counter, obviously.
Immediate interest in two discovered oil fields, which are currently producing, and we're farming in into the West Wastavi field, which has produced both oil and gas, and actually sits next door to the country's largest oil discovery to date, which Alex Peak produced around 70,000 barrels of oil a day and is currently owned 100% by Schlumberger.
Yeah, okay. Well, you've just come back from there. What have you been doing out there? What's the progress you've been making, Paul?
Yeah, so we've basically just we're shortly, as you may recall from our last discussion, we've raised £5 million moving on to AIM, so we're fully funded to execute a pretty robust work program over the next 18 months. First stage of which is due to kick off within the next 2 to 3 weeks. So last week was pretty much spent on nailing down our operating structure. We've got some new guys joining the team, so making sure they were settled in out there. We've got a rig order that's ongoing at the moment on one of the workover rigs that we plan to use in our phase one of operations, which is coming to a close now. So it's just out there making sure that was all as expected. So that's all very good. Had a very interesting meeting with the Georgian government gas sales offtake agreements for West Wastavi gas production. So gas is of significant focus for us in West Wastavi, and obviously ensuring that we've got a clear path to market as and when we successfully move through our development phase in West Wastavi is obviously key. So nailing down the commercial terms associated with those contracts with the relevant off-takers, the one most of focus to us is the Georgian state, of course, but we've got multiple options in country to sell our gas to as and when we move into production, and we can also export. So my time in country was pretty much spent around working out the possible scenarios that we could employ as and when we successfully move for our work program in West Wastavi.
Yeah, and you said there's lots of things going on there. So paint us a picture of what you're hoping to achieve maybe in 3, 6, and 12 months, Paul, if everything goes to plan.
Sure. Well, within the next 3 months or so, I'd expect production to be up to around 250 barrels of oil a day in both Noro and Satskanesi. That's above our production break-even rate, which pays for all corporate costs, both Georgia and UK. Thereafter, we'll be mobilising across to West Rastavi and retesting a significant gas discovery that we had in the western edge of the permit, which will be ongoing in parallel to a pretty significant drill that's ongoing next door. Schlumberger are also appraising a gas discovery they had in their Block 11B, which is on trend and within around 8 kilometres of our West Rastavi drill location. So lots going on in and around us. So that will take us out into around 6 months' time, I'd expect. And thereafter, the focus will be on development potential in Noro and Satskanesi through drilling new wells, and further development potential through exploiting the gas potential in West Rastavi. So the next 6 months for us is stacked with activity, and there's a lot going on, Justin.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, if someone is listening to this right now and likes the sound of what you're doing, the progress you're making, but are still not following the story yet, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox and add you to their watch list, please, Paul.
Sure. Well, we've got a work program kicking off in the next 3 weeks or so. So lots to pay attention to there. We're fully funded. And as a company, we've got plenty to communicate to our followers. So definitely worth keeping an eye on, that's for sure.
Marvellous stuff. Good to talk to you, Paul. And like I said, lots going on. So hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Justin. Look forward to it.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Michael Rosenberg, chairman of Starcom. Ticker there is STAR. Michael, thanks for joining me.
It's a pleasure.
It's almost 2 years ago since we last spoke.
Yeah, time flies when you're fun.
I know. Well, listen, you've had a very bullish trading update today. We'll get into the detail of that in a bit. Before we do, Michael, for people not aware, not familiar with Starcom, could you give a brief summary as to what the business is all about, please?
Okay, so we are in the business of providing systems for tracking. So we provide advanced real-time solutions for remote tracking, monitoring and management of vehicles, containers, assets, and sometimes people and animals. And most people will be familiar with tracking systems that go into your car, but these are very sophisticated systems that provide essential information for those who are running big fleets, and more important, or just as important, that have now spread into all kinds of other areas that need someone to understand where the asset is, what it's doing, and whether it's lost. If it's lost, then how to find it.
Yeah, so essentially the tracking of high-valued assets that obviously would hit the bottom line of a company if it didn't get to where they wanted it to go, is that right?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. And so how many products do you have, Michael, Starcom have?
Well, we have a family of products, and of course some of those products break down into variations of each product. But very briefly, we have a product called the Helios, H-E-L-I-O-S, which was the product we first started with, which was provided for car tracking systems. And that's a sort of what I call a Me Too system that is quite a competitive area, but is an area that has provided over the years quite a lot of what we call the bread and butter revenue of the business. Mm-hmm. And there are variations on that particular product that provide a more sophisticated system, particularly for fleet management. Then we have a product called the WatchLock. The WatchLock is, I think, the easiest way to describe it is an intelligent padlock that will send back a signal to wherever you want it if someone attempts to tamper with it. We then have a product called the Tetis. That product is a product predominantly used in the container industry for tracking containers. And last but not least, we have a product called the Kylos, which is a smaller version of the Tetis, effectively, which is used for tracking all kinds of assets, particularly those that go up into the air and come down again. And then I think last but not least, important to say that all of these products, although we make money from selling them, we also have recurring revenues that derive from monthly fees that the owner then pays us for providing the management systems.
Yeah, absolutely. And which of these products do you sell the most? Is at the moment is doing the best for you, the most profitable for you?
Well, I would say what the product that we sold the most of over the years has been the Helios, which mm-hmm. up to beginning of last year accounted for something like 80 or 85% of our revenues, but it was a relatively increasingly low margin product, although still an interesting product, and of course it provided the recurring revenues, which is great. But since then, the products which I mentioned before, the Tetis and the Kylos and the Quatrlock, have begun to acquire traction, and I would say that the Helios now is probably down around about 50% or just over 50%, and those other products account for the other 50. Our aim, frankly, is to bring Helios down to nearer to 30 to 40%, because these other products are higher value and higher margin.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's go into your trading update. First and foremost, you say your revenue is going to be showing an increase of 50% in the first half of the year compared to the same period last year. What's that down to then, Michael? These other products are getting more traction, is it?
Yeah, exactly that. And in particular, we signed a contract which we announced back end of last year, mm-hmm. very interesting, with a company called CropEx. CropEx is in the agribusiness business, and it provides a device that basically goes into the field, which enables the farmer to identify the soil moisture and indeed fertilizer moisture to be able to monitor how he deals with his crops. They came to us because they needed some technology which would enable the farmer more efficiently to link that system into his own system for smartphones, etc. We provided that. They liked what we did, and we've had ongoing sales with them since then, growing sales. We see that as a growth business, frankly. Mm-hmm. And that's a variation of the Kylos system. It's not exactly Kylos, it's a variation. And the other product, the Tetis, we signed a contract with a company called, interestingly, Where Is My Cargo? The name suggests what it does. And that again accounted for some of the increase in the first half.
Mm, absolutely. And now you mentioned your gross margin sort of softened a bit because the Helios product, as you mentioned, but moving forward, that'll improve. And your loss has gone down as well, is that right?
Indeed, our EBITDA is now down to, I mean, the figures we produced are still subject to final review, but more or less, we're pretty confident they're not going to change very much. For something in the order of $100,000 loss in the first half, which compares to something like $190,000 for the same period last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And so looking, I mean, that's obviously historic what's happened. So looking forward, Michael, to take us through what's going on, and is it a busy period? Is it getting better?
It's extremely busy. And what I think is really interesting, and it's something which we talked about in the report, is that increasingly we're getting approaches from quite major companies who are seeking to work together with us to develop products together based on our technology. And that's a major step forward. It means we're being taken seriously in that world of tracking systems. I mean, I mentioned this, the fact that we're up in the sort of top five, but what's interesting is that the companies that we are named as being alongside are people like Honeywell and IBM, who are massive companies, obviously. Now, they're not companies that we're particularly dealing with, but it illustrates that we are being taken seriously in that industry.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I can imagine this sector, there's more and more being transported around the world with high-value tickets on them, attached to them. So I assume this sector is quite competitive. And I was going to ask, you know, what is it like? I mean, at the moment, I mean, do you find, is it highly competitive or do you stand out or what's the deal here?
I think it's pretty competitive at what I call the lower end of the field in the basic Helios tracking systems. There are many, many companies that provide those kinds of tracking systems. Mm-hmm. But it's much less competitive in the more sophisticated area that I've talked about in terms of container tracking and, for example, the agribusiness area, for example. We're not aware of many companies doing what we're doing. I think it might be one or two, but not many. Of course, you know, you have to be aware that competitors are always going to be snapping at your heels. But I think the products that we're developing now and have developed over the last couple of years stand out because they are ahead of the field.
Yeah, absolutely. So going forward, you see some progress being made with these bigger clients, like you say?
Very much so. We have a client in Europe which was subject to an NDA, so I'm not allowed to disclose who it is. However, they've agreed that when we produce our financials at the end of August, the interim figures, we will be able to disclose. But up to now, we can't. However, what we can say is it's a major European company, manufacturing company, a household name, who are working with us and have already placed orders with us. So companies like that are, as I say, taking us seriously. We see over the next year or two significant growth opportunities. They always happen rather more slowly than you want, but they're happening.
Yeah. Well, you're quite bullish in your statement there. We say for the first time in our history, we are beginning to see a truly global opportunity for Starcom, which is very bullish. Okay, well, listen, Michael, if someone's listening right now, like the sound of this, not following the story, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please.
Well, I think just repeating slightly what I said before, number one, of course, we've moved from being what I call not a startup company, but a small company, been around for 4 or 5 years on the AIM market with revenues in the sort of region of $5 million, $4.5 million. We've reached a stage now, I think, where we're moving. We have the vision that enables us to see how we can take that level significantly higher. As I say, not necessarily tomorrow, but over the next year or two. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I think it's important to say that, which I think is not often recognized enough, is that all of these products, by and large, produce recurring revenue. And for me, recurring revenue is what companies are all about. I mean, it's nice to get contracts, but if you've got nice business, nice revenues coming in every month, roughly a third, not quite, but roughly a third of our revenues are recurring. And obviously, we want to try and increase that if we can. Mm-hmm. And I suppose the third reason is that the management team, which is basically the founders and myself as the chairman, all have skin in the game. We've all got shares, I think. And if you take us all together, we've probably got something like 25 or 26% or thereabouts of the company.
Excellent stuff. Well, Michael, good to chat to you, and hopefully we can chat again in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you indeed.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is oil and gas sector specialist Malky. You all right, fella?
I'm very well indeed. Thanks, Justin, and you?
Yes. Do you know what? I actually tweeted about it on sort of yesterday. I said, I've never looked forward to a bit of rain so much. And it's like after weeks and weeks of it being almost very nice and then uncomfortably hot at times, and my grass dying, I was just, honestly, literally, the grass is greener, isn't it? When you don't have any sun, you want it. When you don't have any rain, you want it. But it was nice to have a downpour yesterday. I mean, usually, when we have a day worth of rain, it's like a bit depressing. But yesterday, we needed it. You know, damn needed it.
Yeah, yeah, it's nice to see it. Yeah, so it was like the sort of, the ground was sort of, yeah, like enjoying it.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, let's look at some oil and gas stocks. What do you got for us, Malky?
Yeah, well, it's always a fairly quiet time of the year. At this time of year, people are on holidays and so on. But there are some interesting stocks to talk about, so I'll fire away.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, well, one of the stocks I wanted to... I've talked about a company called Amerisur Resources several times recently, because I couldn't understand why the stock had been so weak for such a period of time. Mm-hmm. And I think that they've been relying on, you know, their existing production, and it might have... It, you know, they probably expected to be higher. It's about 5,000 barrels a day, but you and I have talked about the fact that 5,000 barrels a day... when you know they're getting over 70 for it and the costs are below 20, it's very profitable. So there's ain't nothing going wrong with that. But you know, the market is concentrating more on the three really interesting wells which are coming up any minute now. That's the Platanillo, Pintadillo 1, Mira Pariba 1, and Indico 1, which is in block CPO-5. Any or all of those come in, there'd be fantastic news for Amerisur. And I think probably the market is now waiting for those rather than giving them credit for existing production. But today they've added to that news by... Well, also they've upgraded the... OBA pipeline to Ecuador, and they've installed a pumping station manifold at Chiritza, which sounds like something you order in a tapas bar, but that will increase the production through the OBA, and the potential upside is significant there. But today they've announced a farm into a block PUT-14 from Gulf Sands Petroleum. And at first glance, you think, you know, why are they doing this? But it's strategically really important. They've got adjacent acreage and in the Terike block. And as I say, it's strategically very important. Now, they're getting this for not just next to nothing. They're being paid they're getting paid $1.25 million to take it off Gulf Sands hands, and $1.7 million, which was the guarantee for the work program. You know, that's amazing, because you know, if they'd paid a lot of money for this, I'd have said, well, maybe, you know, is that right or wrong? But you know, they're actually getting a significant amount of upside in an adjacent block, which they can develop pretty much when they want. They don't have to do it straight away. And it gives them a big position in a potentially multi-layered reservoir in this Terike-Tepache fairway. I think this is very exciting. I haven't spoken to the company yet, but you know, for not just next to no money, they're being paid to take it off their hands. Gulf Sands are, as you know, effectively have closed up shop, stopped being priced in London, and are going to rely entirely on their Syrian acreage. So there's no effect for Gulf Sands, but potentially really good news longer term for Amerisur. And with good production coming through, very profitable, cash flow and revenue is high, and then, as I say, these three really exciting wells coming up. We've talked about the share price before. It just will not move away from that 15p level. Shareholders, are understandably, getting, impatient about what's happening here. Probably won't see much of an increase until one or all of those high impact exploration wells come in. But it does look cheap as chips at the moment.
Yeah. Well, is that? I mean, obviously you're an expert here, Malky. But a farming agreement where you get paid to come in—that's quite unusual, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, Gulf Sands have put everything they own up for sale. Yeah. But this has been touted around the market for some time. And the thing is, the reason that they've had to pay someone to take it away is that, there aren't many operators in Colombia, and the ones that are there, are being very choosy about what they buy. Mm-hmm. And so Amerisur, in an absolutely massively strong position there. They've obviously said to Gulf Sands, yeah, we can take it or leave it. On the upside, they've got this, interesting Terike block next door. On the downside, they said, well, it's only got an X factor of 5%. So, we can take it or leave it. So, they're getting paid a lot of money to take it away, but Gulf Sands had no choice, really. So, Amerisur were in a massively strong bargaining position.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, I do think, I've been saying this for a while, it does take a while for a chart to come around, but I do think we're seeing a bottoming out here, this share price. I mean, it keeps touching, it's almost like a plane landing, but the wheels have touched 14 and it's bounced off that. But I'd be surprised if it goes below that, because it's done that a couple of times and bounced back up. But I mean, I think slowly the 200-day moving average is coming around and flattening out rather than going down. So I think maybe a change in the trend here, So
yeah, and we've got so much news coming through in the next 3 months or so that any of those wells coming in could be, most interesting for this company.
Yeah, cool. What's next, Malky?
Well, I want to talk about a company called FAR, F-A-R, yep. Limited. Now, this is quoted in Australia, so the ticker is FAR, FAR.au. But regular readers of the bucket list will know that this is a stock which I pulled out of the bag at least 2 years ago. They were instrumental in finding the huge Senegal discovery, which Cairn made. They have 15% of that, and it's you know, a billion barrels, and for them, you know, it's a massively important discovery. And you know, they've got to the stage where they've drilled, you know, most of the wells. So we're going into what is effectively the phase of into the development phase. Far is cashed up. They had a raise some time ago, and so they've got plenty of money. There's an arbitration case about this between ConocoPhillips and Woodside. Conoco transferred sold their interest to Woodside without consulting the JV agreement, as I understand it. I don't think there's any, well, certainly no downside. That arbitration, I think they've all given their evidence, but these things take a long time. So I would say, you know, to shareholders, don't expect anything for the time being. They're not going to, aren't going to lose any of their barrels in the ground, but you know, they're carrying on doing other things. And the thing that they're doing, other things, is the massively exciting acreage in the Gambia, which is actually adjacent to Senegal, and what is more, the play is adjacent to the successful Senegal play. Mm-hmm. They've got a huge position in this, and they did a fantastic farm out to Petronas, which is, you know, obviously a major league state oil company. 2-for-1 there. Petronas paid a significant amount of money and carrying far, so they won't have to pay for the early wells in this play, and they're going to drill a really high impact well towards the end of the year. But more important, they've got government approval, but they're waiting for the final approval. When that happens, they'll receive $17 million, but there's no doubt that will come in. And also, there was a small company called Erin, which effectively went bust a couple of weeks ago. Erin had got 20% of this, and as I understand it, and it's only my speculation here, is that Erin had 20% of this, which would go back to the partners. So I would expect FAR and probably Petronas to share that 20%, which would give them an even bigger percentage of this play. You know, therefore, potential upside is even more substantial. We've got a lot of exciting news to come. The shares have started to move up. It's about 2 years in the bucket list, and a lot of people, you know, have remained very solidly behind this one. They've given me a chance, and it's just beginning to show a reward for those people who've been buying it. As I say, because it's a .au, it's more difficult to trade in, as you understand. But the shares, having done not moved from sort of 8 cents for 2 years, shares are up 63% this year so far. They're on the move, but my target, so they're now at 13 cents. But my target is 35 cents, absolutely de minimis, if any of these wells came in. So I would be sitting tight for significant upside from here.
Mm-hmm. Marvellous. Far, and of course, you say that's on the ASX, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, cool. Anything else, Malky?
Yeah, I've got one or two just brief ones, really. Savannah have announced this morning that they've got the MOU agreement between Niger and Nigeria, and I think that's exciting because a lot of people are concerned about, you know, if they were to find oil in Niger, which they have, where, you know, how are they going to get the oil to market? This is an agreement to get the exports from Niger through to refinery in Nigeria, and so that's very exciting because they've made three very decent discoveries in Niger so far. Mm-hmm. And they've announced this morning that they've spudded the fourth well in the campaign, and I would expect the chances of success here are pretty high. I would expect this to again to be very exciting. 30 to 35 days they're talking about. The last well came in more quickly than expected and under budget, so I'd expect that might be less than that. But all very good news here. I'm waiting for the completion of the Seven Energy deal, I think, which would give the shares a good bump up. But still very keen on Savannah.
Mm-hmm, marvellous. Yes, exactly. Very good success rate. I said I did like them to STX. They both have a high success rate, don't they? You know?
Yeah. Briefly, one or two others. President Energy had a very decent update last week on their Puesto Flores production. Mm-hmm. 2,100 barrels a day is way better than they thought when they bought it from Chevron. This has proved to be a cracking deal for President. They've got, as I say, three new wells planned for this half of this year, which are all completely fully financed and in Puesto Flores. So I would expect production to go up there. And also in Estancia Vieja, which is the gassy part of their license there, I would expect to see gas flowing more strongly. If you look at it and see how useful this is going to be, well, the bottom line is from the two wells that they're drilling, either drilled or drilling, and then one more to come, we know that they're planning to turn this into power generation, which would generate enough power for the block starting the beginning of next year. So that takes costs down substantially. I think there's plenty of upside from President, who haven't moved at all. In fact, they're slightly below the placing price of 10p nearly a year ago. So market have yet to get excited about this, which they should do.
Mm-hmm. Marvellous. Yeah. It's consolidating on the chart, and who knows how long it'll take. But, I think if it gets above that 12 pence level, it's going to go, because that's a bit of resistance there. Cool. Anything else you got there, Malachy?
Yeah, two one-liners here. Jersey Oil and Gas announced last week that their drilling program for the North Sea, for the Verbier appraisal well. Equinor has, which used to be Statoil, has announced the program. And in fact, their well is going to be number three in the program rather than number one. So that's been put back slightly. So probably drill towards the end of the year, in the fourth quarter rather than the end of the third quarter. This makes no difference at all. Initially, the share price was marked down. There's nothing to worry about at all here. They're still going to drill it. The fact that they are doing, or they have done, some very substantial seismic means that I think, rather than just one or two potential other prospects on the block, I think that Equinor has spotted one or two others. So I think there's huge upside on that block, not including the one that is discovered already at Verbier. So I think there's the share price could easily double. It's just a question of being delayed by a month or two, which should be of no worry at all for shareholders. Another one which has got some very exciting prospects is Rehobold Resources, which you and I have talked about a number of times.
Yeah, I had the guys on the podcast actually on Friday, and they got a lot going on before the end of the year, haven't they?
Wow, it's an exciting stock, Rehobold, with I think six wells to come in the second half of the year, which for a company the size of Rehobold could be absolutely monumental. I mean, everywhere you look, they've got something going down. And they announced last week that they've got the AFE, which is the indication that they are presenting the bills for the spudding of the wells for the Wick and the Coulter developments wells, which are due in the towards the end of this year. Mm-hmm. So Rehobold Resources is a really exciting stock, there are quite a few punters in this one, and I think that it could be of significant importance.
Yeah, absolutely. I like them. Very smart professional guys. They know what they're doing. And like I said, they've got so many irons in the fire there. And even if one or two of them come off, it'll be good news for the share price,
Absolutely. Could be great fun. So lots of excitement there in a number of stocks that people look at in the bucket list. And I think that the oil prices is steady. Brent is $75 this morning. Seems to be absolutely rock solid in the mid-70s. I have no reason to believe it's going to change much. It's extremely profitable for all these companies.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff, Malky. Any other things going on?
That's all. Thank you very much. I hope that gives an idea of a few stocks to keep a close eye on.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll chat next week, Malky.
Okay, take care now.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, 88 Energy, that's ADD, of course. At four, Nostra Terra Oil and Gas, NTOG. At three, Rehoboth Resources, had the guys on the podcast on Friday, and Malky obviously touched on today. At two, Red Ember Resources, RMP. And number one, most followed company on Vox Markets, is ImaginaTech. I talked about them on the weekend. Did very well on Friday, up 80%, and they're also up again today. Still, though, sub 3 million market cap. And, of course, there's news that Vin Murray should be taking a substantial equity investment. And if you don't know who she is, in fact, save you time. Go to my sort of share pickers account on Twitter, and there's a thread there, IMTK. Search for that and share pickers, and you'll see who she is. There's a summary of, basically, she's the queen of tech. Very interesting. Okay, time for the top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are as follows. At five, Premier Africa Minerals. That's Premier Africa Minerals Limited. At four, 88 Energy Operations Update. At three, Amerisa Resources. That's Putumayo Acquisition. At two, Canadian Overseas Petroleum. Copper receives project financing term sheet. And number one, most followed company, number one, most liked RNS, I should say, is from Rehoboth Resources again. Update on Rehoboth, California. And that's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.